Welcome to PA Bible Study Night, a podcast for our church members to delve deeper into the scriptures together to grow in understanding and relationship with God. If you're a friend of the church or new to PA Bible, we're excited for you to join us. Tonight, we look at the last verse of the Psalter and see that through the journey of ups and downs, highs and lows of life, the place to land is praise the Lord. Sam Pittenger leads us in tonight's study.
To Psalm 150, the very last psalm, and the very last verse of the psalm, verse 6. Psalm 150, verse 6. If you're in your little psalm booklet, just go to the very end until you don't see any more verses, and then go back one page, and you're there. Psalm 150, verse 6, it says this, last words of the Psalter. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So the last verse of this wonderful collection of psalms gives us this command. Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise Yahweh. From Psalm 1, where we started, all the way through to Psalm 150, there's this journey of joy and depression, of trust in God and fear, of lament and joy, of sufferings and troubles, yet victories and deliverances, of sins and yet forgiveness, of hard-heartedness and yet repentance. It's this up and down and highs and lows and all over the map and every shade in between. But the last verse of the entire Psalter shows us the right and ultimate place that we want to land, which is praise the Lord. So if Psalms teaches us to relate to God, as we discussed earlier in the series, ultimately our relation to God should be landing upon praising Him. So the laments of life and the sufferings are real things. The joys and the triumphs and the deliverances are real things. The troubles and the anguishes and the blessedness and the trust and it's all very real and it's all a very lived experience, but it's with God and to God. And then ultimately, Psalms is showing us through it all is praise. Last week, we looked at Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving and praise are pretty closely related. They kiss. They're often attached to one another in the Psalms and in the Scripture in general. But there does seem to be a little bit of difference between them, and I want to point out, not to make too big of a deal about it, but point out a little bit about that. A lot of times with Thanksgiving, we're focusing on and appreciating something that blesses us. Thank you, God, for this, for His goodness and His steadfast love, which endures forever, of which we have experienced the goodness of. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that puts his trust in Him. So a lot of times when we're thanking God, we're expressing something that we have tasted and seen, that we have experienced in a beneficial way. And praise exalts over God in a little bit different angle, to praise His character and His nature, to praise Him as God alone for who He is, that He is holy, He is righteous, apart from just His deeds, but just for who He really is. And so our praise is really supposed to be like a reflection of God's nature. That's why when you'll see praise in the Psalms, you'll see things that are inanimate, like the sky or mountains. And they praise God because they are reflections of His beauty, His majesty, His glory, His holiness, His righteousness, all the wonderful things that are attributed to Him. And these two things, thanksgiving and praise, they work together beautifully. One of the Psalms we read last week was Psalm 100, where Sean shared about entering into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. They go together. So praise, in general, it means to shine upon something, to celebrate, to commend. Think of praise as showing the brilliance of God or magnifying His beauty and boasting over Him and glorifying in Him. And a heart of praise, which we'll see these psalms call us to, they call us to worship God with praise. A heart of praise helps us to move from our space into God's space, in the sense of turning our focus away from ourselves and start praising another, which is Him. So it's going to turn our attention away from perhaps our own circumstances or station and start turning our attention to the simple greatness that is reflected in God's character. So then, if I'm praising Him and it's moving me sort of out of my space and into His space where I'm focusing on the heavenly and not just the earthly, well, then the praise goes up and then it reflects back. And that's the idea of praise. So as I'm praising Him, well, then it's bringing to heart and to mind the wonderful greatness of God as my Father. And so then that praise is starting to reflect back on my own station in life, and it sort of reorients my perspective. Does that make sense? That's the point of praise for our hearts. We're reflecting back to God His own wondrous glories. And as we do, the good that it does to the heart is to reorient our perspective in our circumstance. So we deal with it with new wisdom and perspective, because we're praising the God who's greater than all things, including self, including earth, including heaven, including everything. Without praise and without thanks in our regular cadence of Christian walk, we really will dry up spiritually, because it will make life all about something other than Him. And that's really what the dangers of a discontented heart bring. It'll make life about something other than God, and yet life is created because of God and for God. So it'll make us live life in a wrong lane. Does that make sense? Thanksgiving and praise are not something you want to force, but they are acts that we choose. And in choosing them, they help to nourish us inwardly, so that we're not focused on anything else or on self alone, but upward toward God. And so that's why you'll see, even in the New Testament, thanksgiving and praise of God are sort of markers of spiritual healthiness. You know, if I never can thank God, or I refuse to see His goodness, or I can never praise God, meaning I cannot see that He's worthy of my showing His brilliance, exulting over Him, glorifying Him, it's showing that I really, truly have a wrong perspective on who He is and on who I am and whatever this life and earth is. True praise, and I have a long introduction, but after that I won't talk too much. True praise, nice, you know that's not true. True praise has a sort of wholeheartedness to it. And that's what you see in the Psalms, and that's what makes it go, I want a taste of that. You know, when you see the psalmist's heart go to the highest highs, I want a taste of that. And the idea of once we're in this space of we are actively thanking, we are actively praising, it does a spiritual nourishment in our heart to bring us and our focus to the things of heaven. And there is a wholeheartedness to it. I don't think all praise starts out wholehearted, right? Sometimes it starts all like this. I will praise Him. Oh, praise Him. Hallelujah. Yeah, you know. It starts out like that, but the concept is, as you are praising God, again, it's reflecting His beauties and glories and then reorienting your perspective. So then the praise becomes full. And that's the idea of continual praise, every day and forever. That's what we'll see in the Psalms. The praise helps to pour out more praise. So when's the last time, you know, we took time and space to really thank God and really praise Him with an undivided heart? You know, with a true and genuine heart toward Him. Some people, we just get so inside ourselves that we don't even feel like we want to or could. And that is something that defeats us from even trying. But so much of this is God will meet us in thanksgiving. He will meet us in praise. He will meet us in His word. He will meet us in prayer. If we start choosing what He shows us to do, He will start working in those things. So tonight, we'll survey the last six psalms in the Psalter, as they are all songs of praise. And this is how, with songs of praise, that the whole Psalter ends. It's calling every worshiper to lift their gaze from up off the ground and put their gaze in praise upward on the Lord. And praise is what helps us to truly worship God effectively. When praise is missing, we are not coming before his throne properly. Like we saw last week, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts where you're getting closer to praising God. You're getting closer to the presence of God in the sanctuary at the temple. Well, come at him correctly in terms of approach him well, which is with thanksgiving and with praise. And again, remember, these psalms are public, they're corporate, they're collective. So this is a reminder to all of Israel and now to all Christians of the need for the praise of God and how these psalms teach us how to approach God truly. And I always think about this when I think about praise. Do you know what we're going to be doing for all of eternity? Praising God. We're going to be part of an eternal song. So praise now is a foretaste of eternal days. And so we might as well praise him now because we will be praising him forever, right? Psalm 146, as we open there, this constitutes from Psalm 146 to Psalm 150, the last Hallel of the Psalms. Hallel means praise. Hallel is most of the way to hallelujah, right? Hallelujah is praise Yahweh. So this is the last of the Hallel Psalms, 146 through 150. One that we touched on briefly two Sundays ago was the Passover Hallel, which is 113 to 118. So there's a couple of these, but this is the last one. And this one is a descriptive praise. It's going to tell you why and how and where and what, etc., and who. And these would have been used in things like their daily prayers and their daily readings and weekly readings in synagogue worship. In these last six psalms, the word praise appears 46 times. So we'll do a lot of reading, perhaps more than usual, and I'll try to move at a good pace. So verse 1 of Psalm 145, it says, "A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever." I think I said Psalm 146, but it's Psalm 145. "And bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." This is what's called an acrostic psalm. Acrostic psalms start with, you know, they're like alphabet psalms. You know, it goes through every letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Psalm 119 is like that. The idea of acrostics is they don't have like a big structure that starts this way, goes that way, comes up with a big finish. It's like one beat the whole time, getting across one point all different kinds of ways. Like Psalm 119, for example, is about the law of God's word, you know, over and over and over in all different ways. This one is about the greatness of God and that he thus is greatly to be praised. It's a one-beat psalm. God is great, his greatness is unsearchable, so the praise of him is not supposed to be measly. It's supposed to be great praise. Does that make sense? So he's here speaking of God as the ruling king. He's speaking well of his name forever. And he vows that he will do this every day and forever. Praise God now and forever. Because God is great and greatly to be praised. Again, praise, we're thinking character of God. We're thinking nature of God. So not necessarily what has he done for me lately. But who is he? His greatness is unsearchable. Put your mind on those kinds of things rather than circumstantial. Why this? Why not that? How come this? How come that? Praise is based in God's greatness of his character, his nature, his attributes. So let's talk about this greatness and how God shows it to the humble. "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds and will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness." See how he's just sort of describing God in this praise? "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your work shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all of his words and kind in all of his works. Now we'll relate it to people. The Lord upholds all who fall down and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand. You satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. So the psalm begins with praise, and it ends with praise. And in the middle is the reason why, the greatness of God, which is unsearchable. And this psalmist calls all flesh, that is all people, to praise the Lord and bless his holy name, not just right now, but forever. Again, when we praise now, it's a foretaste of eternal joy and praise in God. Psalm 146, the next one. Verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. So here, this one, the psalmist speaks to his own heart. He says, O my soul. So he's telling his soul what to do. Soul, praise the Lord. This is a good lesson. There's no context saying, I just had the best day ever. So soul, praise the Lord. There's nothing like, well, I just had the worst day ever. So don't praise the Lord. Soul, nothing to do with his day. Nothing to do with his circumstance. Nothing to do with his context. Everything to do with the worthiness of God to be praised. So he tells his soul, soul, do something great here. Give praise to the Lord. And he says, as long as I live and while I have my being. And it's phrases like this that show what we're here for. While we have our being, we're here to be walking, talking praisers of the Lord. We're to be reflecting the beauties, the glory, and the majesty of God through praise, both in our words, deeds, all of life, right? Worshiping God, praising God. I think the biggest thing that gets in the way probably in our modern times is I just don't feel like it. And I think that's pretty common. That's pretty normal in some respects. Thankfully, praise is not based on feeling alone. Sometimes you really do feel it. All you can do is praise. Nobody will stop you no matter what. But feelings will come and they will go, and sometimes they're helpful and sometimes they're not. But praise, when we choose to do it, lifts our hearts to something greater than our feelings. And that's to God and to his beauties, to God and to his greatness. So as Sean likes to say, you know, we want to let our feelings catch up with our faith. And praise is one of those things. I will praise him today. Do something great today, soul. Praise God. You want to accomplish something? You want to be productive in the world? You want to make the world a little better? Praise God today. If I only praised him when I felt like it, I would be truly inconsistent. But when we do praise him and when we choose to praise him, it helps our hearts, even if their heart is struggling. You know, it might start with, hallelujah, oh, praise him. You know, but by the end, God's working and your heart's opening up to him. That is too, you know, praise of God, you know, maybe through seasons that are long. It's not just one song on a Sunday sometimes where you got to get your praise up, right? It might be a week, too, might be months at a time. Seasons of those lower degrees, we see that all through the Psalms. But where do the Psalms land? At the end of the day, God is great and greatly to be praised. So, in contrast to God and his greatness to be praised, verse 3, don't put your trust in princes, in the Son of Man, in whom there's no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the travelers. He upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Praise the Lord. So again, call to worship, to praise the Lord. It opens with it and it ends with it. Every single one of these psalms opens with praise and ends with praise the Lord. And in the middle of this one, we see the difference between man and the difference between God. That it's really God who is good. It's really God who is righteous. It's really God that's the true help of people, for people that are hungry or oppressed or bowed down or strangers or widows or fatherless. God helps the helpless. And ultimately, everyone is helpless, even princes, even the powerful. There's no real salvation there. There's no real help there. So all people are helpless. God, all people are in need of God. And so praise him. You know what praising will do? It'll help you realize, actually, God is worthy of praise. God is my true help. Psalm 147. We'll just read the first verse of this one and the last verse. Psalm 147, it says, praise the Lord. For it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. So praise the Lord, it's good to sing praises to our God. It is pleasant and a song of praise is fitting. So the psalmist not only calls for praise, but he tells us why. It's good and is pleasing. Songs of praise are befitting. Remember, praise is good for us, but it's also fitting if you know God, right? If you know, really know who God is, then the right response is that of praise. That's a true recognition of who God is. To be someone who sort of lacks that joyful praise of God is not fitting to the greatness of the one whom we worship. And one thing you don't need to worry about, like if you're reading the end of these psalms, you're going, that's a lot of praise. You cannot praise God too much. That's the thing. So you can praise your spouse too much. You can praise your friend too much. You can praise your brother or sister in Christ too much. You can praise your boss, your workers, whatever. You can praise them too much, but you cannot praise God too much. You simply can't overdo it. So in a book that's filled with psalmists who are downcast, psalmists who are wearied, who are suffering, who are struggling, who are saying things like, God, why have you forgotten me? Have you forgotten to be gracious? How long? How long? It's also fitting to praise him all of your days, to have joy in worshiping him. And when you think about those two things, usually we're going to Psalms in our fickleness for one or the other. It's like, I got to get my praise fix. Praise the Lord. And one week, that's great. That's all I want to hear. And then the next one, I want to read Psalm 88. And just everything ends all sad and there's no resolution. I just want to sit in the dark. And we want one or the other thing from Psalms. This is how I want to worship God. Well, Psalms are showing us that's not how you worship God, one or the other. It's both. So lamenting is good. Handing your complaint to God is good. But praise is good. And it's not one or the other. It really is both and. Because true lament will come to the recognition of praise of God. That's what biblical lament is. It's not a murmuring spirit. It's one that is lamenting to God who is the God of your life. And so it's not meant to keep you stuck. It's meant to help you be free. And so we see both of those, and sometimes we think they're opposites or they just don't mesh, but really, it's all in the same Psalms, right? It's David writing both half the time. And this shows us how to relate to God in both ways. So endless lament without praise is not the teaching of the Psalms. We want to learn to do both well. Look at the last verse of this Psalm. He has not dealt thus with any other nation, meaning Israel was his special people. They do not know his rules or his laws. And how does it end? Praise the Lord. So again, just like the other songs here, this is book-ended by praise. Go to Psalm 148. This Psalm 148 stresses again the importance of praising God. I think we've got that by now. This one calls heaven to praise him and calls the earth to praise him for establishing and exalting Israel, God's people in the earth. And each part of these is going to actually start with a call to worship God, to praise the Lord. And the whole thing ends with praise the Lord. So praise, this is going to happen 13 times in 14 verses. So we, in Psalm 6 or Psalm 50, is going to be very, very similar, and it's going to up the ante. So we're only getting more and more. If Psalm 45 started off like, praise the Lord, bless his name forever, his greatness is unsearchable. Let me remind you about the character of the Lord. Let me remind you of his attributes. Don't you know that when you call to him, he's going to hear you and he delivers you out of your trouble? And for the rest of our days, let's praise the Lord. But by the time you get to Psalm 150, it's 13 times in 6 verses. Praise the Lord. Whatever you got in your hands, use that. Make noise. Sing loud. Bang on some stuff. Play an instrument. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So again, you kind of even see in the structure of these last 6 Psalms, it's working our way, our heart into it. So that by Psalm 150, we can all go, praise the Lord 13 times, and we're in it. So Psalm 148. It's going to start picking up speed here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. So the psalmist is summoning everything above the earth, right, in the heavens, to praise God. Angels, stars, planets, sun, moon, and clouds. Again, praise reflecting his majesty and glory. Praise him, you highest heavens. And you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it shall not pass away. So these heavenly entities are to praise God because he created them all. And this is sort of that Genesis 1 truth being reiterated here. The created order exists to praise God. That's what it's there for, to reflect the glories of God. And they will exist as long as he decrees it to be. Okay, now it's going to go downward to the earth. Verse 7, praise the Lord from the earth. You great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy winds fulfilling his word, mountain and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children alike. So parallel to the heavenly host, praising, the psalmist now calls on all the earth and its host to praise God. So whether it's sea creatures or landscapes, weather, animals, rulers, king, young and old, everyone alike should praise the Lord. Again, because he's worthy of the praise. So all these things are reflections of his glory. Thus, they ought to praise him. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. Again, none like him. His majesty is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people. Praise for all of his saints, for the people of Israel who are near to him. Praise the Lord. So that God would choose a people, ultimately this is culminating in everything should praise because God is actually choosing a people by which he's going to redeem everything and show his majesty. And that was Israel. And from Israel would come the ultimate horn of God's salvation, which is Christ. So praise him. Psalm 149. This is for all of us curmudgeonies that only like the old tunes. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the godly. So again, assembled, the congregation of the godly. It's good for God's people to be together and praise God. Again, the point of praising God is not like I get my praise on and you don't matter. As long as me and God get our time and fix, my praise is good. It's not really what the Psalms are for. The Psalms are ultimately calling the assembled congregation together to all together praise the Lord. And he says to praise him with a new song. Again, for us curmudgeons that only want to sing the old ones. This shows us it's good to continue in the praise of God. And as we're continuing the praise of God, it inspires a new song. God is doing new things. And we are recognizing his name anew in praise in a new way. There's something fresh to the praise of God. That's the point of this. It's not supposed to be like a stale thing or a rote concept or a rote praise, but we're expressing wholeheartedly something fresh. And that kind of brings to, you know, it's going to be the old, old story and the wondrous deeds of old and a God who is eternal and has always existed. We're not getting anything new here. But the way in which we're praising him, there's this freshness to it. It doesn't have to become stale. Let Israel, verse 2, be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with the tambourine and lyre. In these coming verses, he's going to talk about the praising God who saves the humble, but also executes judgment on the nations and the people that oppose him. It says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. Let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy in their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged sword in their hands. So they're praising God and they're going to battle at the same time, right? To execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all of his godly ones. And as they all end, so this one calls us to worship, praise the Lord. So the people of God joy in him and praise of him because of what he's going to do in the future for them as well. God is with you. He's for you. And they, in their obedience to him and taking the land that he had given them, that he had given to Israel, in their obedience, they would also be praising God. And we'll end in Psalm 150. So by this point, as we're working through this, we're supposed to be going, okay, I will praise him because it's about to get wild in here. This psalmist is going to call every person to praise God for his supreme greatness. There are 13 usages of the word praise in just 6 verses, so more than twice per verse. And this is the final doxology that brings all of the psalms to a joyful conclusion. That's why the teaching of psalms is getting us from Psalm 1 to choose God's way. And what does God's way result in? Ultimately, praising him. There's a lot in between, many colors and many mountains and valleys and everything in between. But choose his way, and then the choosing of his way brings us to landing on praising him. Verse 1, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Already 3 times, praise him. This calls both heaven and earth to praise God where he dwells. And it gives us these 2 ideas. For those that are on the earth, where do you praise him? In the sanctuary of his presence. So for Israel, that would be at the temple. Then those that are in heaven, to praise him in the mighty heavens, his firmament and what he has made and where God dwells upon his throne. So the heavenly host praises him there. And praise him for what? For his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. So again, no one like him, his mighty deeds and excellent greatness. Praise him with the trumpet sound. Praise him with the lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. So all sorts of music, all sorts of instruments, all kinds of loud. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. And here, do so with music is one of the things that it's instructing. Again, these were put to music. Worship, I think, it's very important to know worship is more than a song. Worship is an entire life given to praising and worshiping God. But music is an important aspect of praise and worship toward God. Verse 6, this is how the Psalms end. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So having dealt with where and how to worship, if you're on the earth, this is where you go. If you're in the heavens, this is how you do it. Now it says who should do it. Everything that has breath should praise the Lord. And this is a fitting conclusion to the book of Psalms. all people should praise God. And you could say that's ultimately the message of the book. Praise the Lord. So Psalm teaches us to worship well, praise God for his supreme greatness. And in every stage of life, highs, lows, and every color in between, we experience it in a relationship with God that ultimately is pointed at praising him. So if we have breath today, we want to wake up and give God the glory. Amen.
Thanks for joining us for our Psalm series. Next time, we'll be looking at how the Psalms teach us to repent of our sins and the joy of our forgiveness in Christ. At PA Bible, we welcome you to join us in gospel-centered, scripturally devoted fellowship as we make much of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ.